It's obvious, of course, from the line of things which came before us yesterday, that Ephesus must present in type to us that local condition as we saw, the state of the assembly at the outset, that is, the assembly in general, as the fruit of the apostolic labors of the Apostle Paul, the churches in Asia. But most of us will remember that Paul himself had to say concerning them very left the same, all they which be in Asia have turned away from me. And it seems that though the first decline is marked out here very clearly, however simple the terms may be, the root from which all the others have brought in prison of the dead, that's one. And while we may thank God there is more than merely the last profession of Christendom in the world today, I mean that in the midst of it there is that which is true to the Lord. Nevertheless, we are all called to share the disaster that has come in on the public testimony that we find began here in this address of the Ephesians.
It was a fear in the children of Israel, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua. And they were, they had to be in the wilderness for 40 years. Caleb and Joshua had to ruin them. Even though they were ready for the land, yet they had to be with the rest in going round and round in the wilderness.
You say just a big option. The meaning of this word Ephesus was desirable.
Yes.
I remember reading or hearing somewhere that it was a word that a Greek young man would use in relation to his sweetheart.
Yes.
Desirable. And that's what Ephesus was to the Lord, and what it must have been for his heart when he had said to her, however correct her ways may be otherwise, what it must have been for his heart to say, thou hast left thy person. We won't ask ourselves that question.
That's why we said in these readings, not only to find what is historical here, but the moral influence to every one of the infants coming down in these addresses.
It could be said of the Apostle Paul that he had not left his fresh love.
What are you referring to?
Well, it says of the Ephesians that they left their first love.
What were you referring to, though, about the Apostle Paul?
In his individual life.
Oh, you say it couldn't be said about him?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you said it in mind. I wondered where the place was. I'm sorry. But you remember he himself had to say, as we quoted, all they that be in Asia have turned away from me. I think we have noticed in some of our readings on the second epistle to Timothy, there were two men in the first chapter that he mentioned there, apparently in that district, was it Tychicus and Hermogenes? Well, the two, he said, that had turned away from me and he named them. And then, oh, would you mind just looking on that for that one memory, not as good as it was? And there's two men in each chapter, that's what we're trying to refer to. I might have to get the names mixed up. Yes, in verse 15 of the first chapter of 2 Timothy, it's my jealous father and his Hermogenes. And what it says about those two is, they have turned away, belonging to this company, or at least this district in Ephesus. Now there's one or two in the next chapter, in verse 17, their great believers of the character, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. And then other two in chapter 3 and verse 8, I see, Janus and Janus. I think what we noticed about them when we read that epistle, that the first two turn away. The second two have propagated the false doctrine. And the last two are in direct opposition to the truth of God. If we notice that when we read that. And we cannot doubt that the decline begins that way, that there is a given amount of truth, there will be the environment of error, and at the end of that pathway is progressing, one will find oneself in flat opposition to the truth that one first professed.
Wonderful, isn't it, how the Lord praises what can be praised, or puts his finger in the sore point.
It wouldn't be worth going on with if there wasn't something of praise about it. Well, go on. Yes?
I was going to say, it's a common saying that there we hear it week after week, all that Paul's ministry.
Yes.
Well, they don't recognize the authority that Paul had. And that's where the tension is in, comes in, doesn't it?
That's right.
We saw yesterday, George, the vivid description of the Lord himself in chapter 1. But in each of the seven churches, he defines himself clearly at the start of the letter.
That's right.
And not the least in verse 1 here, even at the seven stars in his right hand. You got to say about that?
Well, that word bolded, rather strikingly, I think the word is kratos. It means of strength and of power. And I caught myself in turning out that word as though the Lord powerfully held them, suggesting that if there was any failure in the assembly, it wasn't because of the lack of divine power on the Lord's side. It was there available for everyone.
Is the preventive against the defection in each assembly, and also the resource of the overcomer in the assembly, to see the way in which the Lord is presented to each assembly? First, love stands in relation to being held by the Lord. If we lose first love, then obviously we're not being held by the Lord.
He holds them, the one who has all authority and all power, he holds them in his right hand. Capable of using them in administration for himself, whatever it may be, the service may be to which they commit him. And I think it's well just to know that at the beginning, if there's any lack, it's certainly not on the side of the Lord.
There's a difference, I suppose, between the Lord holding them and the soul being conscious that they are being held.
I'm sure there's nothing to involve us more if we set our hearts in service for the Lord here. When we speak of service, and its widest way, it doesn't only mean that I'm gospel preaching, or perhaps even to Bible teaching, important as these things are. Each one of us, with the particular service we feel the Lord has committed to us, to feel assured we have His support. His love behind us is a good start on our service.
Could it be said then that this will continue right through to the end, even the present day?
I'm quite sure it is. If there's ever to be any overcomers, as we hope to see in all these different churches, it's an honor to be supported by His power, isn't it? We are no different to those people that are, we might call them a natural made up, or whatever we are in the circle in which we belong. As much dependent upon the Lord as ever they were.
And could you say he's still walking in the midst?
Oh yes. The Lord has said that here.
I noticed in the first chapter, it simply states that he is there. But here, he's walking. It seems to be he's going round the mount to see if each one's giving out the light that he has given. With these eyes of his, it can detect them.
I suppose like the high priest of all, having them under his care. Again, we have often noted on that, I think it was mentioned yesterday, in regard to these things, there is not only that which comes out of them on our side. What we might call the privilege and the blessedness of serving the Lord. He's there to produce fruit from God amongst them. And that's the, I suppose, the main reason he's moving them up the mountains.
He would distinguish then between a testimony rendered to God that is visible to man and a testimony rendered to God that's under his eye.
Probably, yes.
Outwardly, they were getting on splendidly.
Yes.
But he could see that the inward spring of their service was defective, puts his finger on it.
Seems to be quite serious here, because of us. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that the three springs of Christianity are faith, love, and hope. And these three springs are in 1 Thessalonians, remember, chapter 1. Your work of faith is but the work here, but there's no faith. And labor of love in Thessalonians. This is a labor here, but there's no love. And patience of hope in 1 Thessalonians, but the salvation here, but no love. The streams are still running, but they're divorced from the springs. And it just waits for a time when all run dry, and that's what happened.
Well, the memory there is that, of course, that he does command there was labor there, all right. I don't know, doubt in many ways, a genuine labor for the Lord himself. It was more of one day, use the expression, the very essence of that labor, the flowing out of a simple heart devotedness to the Lord himself and for his glory, that was the thing that was missing in it. Mentioned 10 times in conjunction in the New Testament, the outstanding features of Christianity.
You would say that the Ephesians would hardly be able to quote the verse, the love of Christ constrained us.
Losing it. I do not doubt, of course, this still and love for Christ, and not in the intensity in which they began. And all being said already today about searching ourselves. Why, some of us, when we were first on the day, we felt we'd go anywhere in the world, we'd go out with anything for the Lord. Do we feel like that today? Getting on in old age, you know, maybe getting too tired, come to the Bible reading. Yes, all this sort of thing can be done.
George, between works and labor, I knew thy works and labor. I think we used to speak in older days about the servants of the Lord. The laborers. There must be a difference in that. A labor is something more intensive, isn't it? Something that costs.
Well, I don't know about the bearing of it. When he says, I know thy works, there wasn't just that which perhaps was easy, and that which they perhaps could delight in and find pleasure in. It was that there was a cost attached to it. Labor, veiled out there in the heart, the set, whatever the pressure may be, the opposition may be, just to go on with the thing and seek grace from the Lord to bear it.
There would be opposition on these days.
Yes.
Is it not significant here that the phrase, I know my works, is repeated in every assembly?
Yes.
And might very well be paraphrased by saying, I know what you're doing.
Yes.
Whatever it is, good, bad, indifferent, yes. I know what you're doing. And what follows out to particularize is the point.
This one.
Perhaps a little point in that regard is the strength of the word no, don't you think?
Speak up now. There are two words for no in the New Testament, aren't there? There's the objective knowledge. And then the conscious knowledge. This is the stronger word. We've expected, said, the Lord turns a piercing gaze upon every assembly and said, I know what you're doing.
Yes. Through and through.
Yes.
Lord says here, for thy namesake, thou hast labored. For my namesake, that's the labor. You think that the laboring for his namesake, the labor would go right.
Oh, I'm sure that the swing of it. We said, you see, there was so much commendable. Indeed, I should suggest to dear Peter that if we were up to the Ephesian standard today, there might be a vast difference in the meaning, even if that initial spring was lost. I'm persuaded we're a long way along this day.
Do you think first love is in conversion?
Well, no. I don't know that we are there.
Yes.
It's the best or the cheapest love. I think it's that wholehearted affection for the Lord that would let nothing stand in the way of being dear for his pleasure.
Most important to get this word of first love clearly in our minds, isn't it? It's the same word as in Luke 15, bring forth the best robe.
Yes.
And again, of whom I am chief. Many a time in the New Testament it's the thought of the best or the chief. That's what the Lord looking for.
Yes, we must be careful and not think that they've lost favor for the Lord. But it just wasn't that individual intensified love that would have carried them on and all part of the world of this life.
Could you not call it fresh love?
Well, I think I would rather refer to that in the word he said about conversion. But the word doesn't quite mean that. I think as our brother has said, it's a word that's first, chief, or best. It's translated wrong. It's probably wrong in the best form.
It's not just a question of first at a time.
No.
It's best. And I look back and see it every night when I love the Lord better than I do this afternoon.
Well, yes, I suppose that's what's lying behind it. Well, let us see these marks if we can that the Lord does appreciate with them. For I'm sure, in spite of what he says to them in verse 4, he definitely did appreciate what he says in verses 2 and 3.
It's significant, isn't it, that he always commends first that which he can.
Very good. Right.
It's very comforting, too, that he knows. We cannot, no deception that can succeed with him.
Right.
So that we are in the light. That's a great matter, isn't it? Being in the light, he knows. Is it the allowance of allowing other things to come in between the Lord in the losing of the first love?
Well, obviously, something had happened that had brought them into this state, whatever it was. As we said, I think we must be sure that they did love the Lord, and indeed, as we know, he loved them. But it's not just that intensity of the love. It's maybe difficult to explain. I would rather suggest that an explanation, searching by your heart about it.
How about the verse in Colossians, George, holding fast the hand?
Yes.
You see, this word of the Lord holding the stars rather suggests that on the outside we've got to hold on to him as well. What do you think of that?
Well, yes, I'm sure that's true.
Anyway, driven between my soul and the Lord, meaning the first love is love.
Right.
The last word of the same writer in the epistle is children, keep yourselves to my heart. And that's not that being the, it was not that way as with Israel, all through their history. They would be allowed, whatever it was, to come in between themselves and Jehovah.
Keep thy heart all diligence and pride of it, the issues of life.
Anything that displaces that affection in my heart is an idol. People say, well, man, huh? Well, there's a multitude. Yes, it would be difficult to name them all. It's whatever may have got into my heart that is displacing my affection for the Lord, it's an idol.
Isn't this what the apostle had in mind and speaking, writing to the saints of Corinth? I present you to one man,
yes,
as a chaste virgin espoused to Christ.
Very good. Very good.
It's really virgin affections, isn't it?
Yes, indeed, yes.
And in the end of the Bible, is not that the object that the spirit of the bride may come? Is not the whole verse at the present moment to recover the affections of the saints and bind them to the Lord rather than to companies or the protections? For the whole matter is bound in half the Lord. And these people, it wasn't that they had no concern for doctrine. Indeed, there can be a concern for doctrine, and the Lord can be the difference.
I remember we're going through 1 Corinthians, and we all know the many things that were around there. And coming to the close of that episode, came to the 6th ordinary text, did any man love not the Lord Jesus with him and hear one another? And I thought to myself, well, if there had been love to the Lord Jesus, there wouldn't have been the allowance of all these things that took place above.
When Paul in his last letter, again, he refers to those who love is a theory. That could be considered a long time ago, can't it? One thing is to anticipate the rapture, but to love is appearing is that we miss the Lord Jesus here.
Yes.
Well, this appearing will put down all lawlessness, won't you? And we're loving his appearing. of the warning and the power of the power.
Speaking for a moment, George, on this matter of patience, I have identified repeated twice.
Yes.
Not patience in relation to persons, but patience in relation to things. Right. Now, why do you think that comes into a double meaning?
Well, you know that the simple meaning of the word patience is endurance. Mm-hmm. The whole point being that whatever these things were, they just persevered and did not allow them to come in between themselves and the Lord. Those things, they endured it in spite of what might have been an opposition.
Could you speak in that way? That the rest of it, what had happened was that not the first works. The
well,
the words were shocking.
Oh, yes, the words
were shocking.
Yes, the same verse. The only reason I was raising this issue, just to bring it into 1927 conditions, speaking generally, the saints are pretty good at enduring, I think. I mean, they struggle on in very small meetings. It's a matter of endurance. Is that a common feature of Oxford? It is not the whole picture, is it?
It's
a good start. Perhaps there's room for being led on there.
We have been patient.
Yes, we have. So God about that one of it. Yes, that's right.
And the same thing in Hebrew is not a straining in the mind. It's not a question of muscle and brawn, but lest you reveal any pain in your mind.
Right. These things here said over them, they fainted not.
Oh, that's right.
And not fainted.
Do you understand, George, in verse 2 that they were quite correct as to doctrine? And in verse 3, they were quite energetic as to service.
I'm quite sure that we're rather slipping over these verses, you know. I think we want them on as we go down, because they're things that we get badly in need of today. I'm pretty sure of that. And what the Lord does command in Ephesus, it is, as you say, the Lord is, their practices here, and what they have definitely done for him. Thou canst not bear them which are evil. There's the danger of variating with these things today, trying to meet them halfway. Let's go so far with them in order to get them, perhaps, with us. No, if this was something that goes to the truth, as they had received it, they just could not bear it, much less palliating.
In other words, George, if an assembly judgment is that a brother is to be put down, individuals fraternizing with that brother are not walking in accordance with this verse. We've certainly seen that, telling us.
See, I think that in my mind, the reason I went back to Timothy, the young ladies, you see, there are probably men in some way connected with the testimony that have been in positive opposition to it eventually. Indeed, there's this apostolic business. Men that say they are apostles are some men to be liars.
Evil men would be very pronounced, wouldn't they? In practice and doctrine.
Well, would you think that the evil here would be in doctrine more than practice? That it hardly be the law, I think, a sense of God. They could hardly connive with people with, perhaps what we might call externally evil practice. But I'd rather judge that was the root of this evil. It was springing from evil doctrine. That apparently was teaching people an allowance of certain things, perhaps the lust of the flesh, etc. As we know, these things have happened. Evil in the things of God.
I think it might also include evil practice, George.
Well,
this man, that there was a bad man, this Tachos here, a bad man in Corinthians. Well, he was to be put out and left out. Leave him alone. God will deal with him.
I take it that when they tried him in verse 2, they were tried relative to the truth.
Yes,
it was the truth
that
tried
him. Oh, I think that we should keep to that standard all the time. Yes. Paul, you remember when he last addressed to the Ephesians. I know that after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples that way. We've only to take of Andrew Miller's church history. I, for the first time in my life, read it right through. That's a pretty long book, but it's been most interesting. Man was appointed to have a new vision from God, as sort of extra light from God. We're not away from that danger today. We're still men today doing this sort of thing. Liars. Again, that doesn't mean they don't tell the truth so far as we speak of ordinary things. They're liars in regard to the things of normal things.
Misrepresenting God.
Yes. John, isn't it John that uses that term? That man said that he loved God, is it? Loved not his brethren? Isn't that the term? He's a liar. Yes.
So what the Lord's commanding here then is hatred. In these Laodicean days, it's certainly not the done thing to hate anything, but the Lord commands here a strong attitude in relation to evil men. David said, didn't he, I love them with a perfect love, but also I hate them with a perfect hatred. And perhaps that's a needed attitude today.
You're not okay,
please, is it?
Yes.
And thus it said he was born, and spite of much that would have discouraged and weighed against them, bowed them down. You know, there's sometimes a danger, I'm afraid a lot of our popular hymns lead to it. We sometimes in the gospel preaching, I'm not giving any flesh for the night, it was me well enough, but sometimes in our gospel preaching, we say to people, now look, you take the Lord as your Savior, why you'll be walking on air for the rest of your life. We're getting in the day, we sing hymns sometimes. Examine the things. We know by our experience how much trouble it is. Christianity is a serious thing in this world. It's something the world doesn't want and the world opposes. And I may find that in my family, much less in my business, that if I stand true to what is due to Christ, I'll find opposition against me on every hand. It's only fair to tell people these things.
It is a comfort, isn't it, from the very first step?
Quite.
I heard a distinction made the other day, I thought it was good. There's a difference between a battle and a conflict. You can get the battle at the birth, but the conflict continues.
Oh, yes.
And we're in a conflict.
Oh, yes.
It's just there all the time. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God.
Yes, quite. We withdraw from the conflict, we surrender the truth of God.
It seems to me, George, this commendation in the verse 3 is significant. They have not fainted.
Aye, aye. Wait.
It's a good mark of sense.
Well, if there's any one of us in our world could be saddened or something, that could make us tired if we allowed it to delay. That's the simple way I think this works out. But they hadn't really, in spite of the opposition of the conflict, they'd gone on. And certainly the Lord appreciated it.
Mr. McGrew's point about the Apostle Paul exhibiting it, I endure all things for the elect's sake.
And there, finish the verse. That they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I think it's wonderful when the saints of God, and we're all pretty much on a par, so far as faith from the Lord is concerned, that when we realize that what we've been called to is God's eternal glory, and not with any boastful spirit, but in real reflection and appreciation of what the Lord has done for me, I'm going on.
And it'll help others.
Will it be? Will. And I am persuaded the more we pursue that path, the more we appreciate it and enjoy the blessing of the Lord resting upon us.
It's the Lord's own path, of course, isn't it? He endured everything.
As they said, all he ever promised them was a cross.
Yes. Right. In the same epistle where you quote that from, you're also called to suffering.
Yes.
It is a great thing to know the purpose of God, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
It keeps you going on.
Oh, well, yes, nothing can over that. Thank God.
For the elect's sake, he knew the purpose of God in relation to the people of God. He went on.
And yet, with all our commendation, I didn't want to pass over that, as long as we're a company that went doing anything at all, or any interest at all, they had a tremendous amount of interest. I don't know if you agree with me, but I still think even if we're back to it, But he does have to say this to them. Oh, for all that, oh, when I can see it, when you're there, I have justice against you. You've left your very best love. I think I'm safe in saying that.
Could it not be possible to come back to the very best love, present day?
Well, individualizing, yes, and the appeal to the overcomers. I don't think it will ever be seen again in a general way. Indeed, that one stand is about to be removed, as I believe it was.
Could you say that this first one was bridal affection?
Well, that's what it's often been called, bridal affection. Well, we pointed out, you know, there are two features running through this book, and it is wifely affection as well as bridal affection. And very striking the way we often look at them in this very way. The wife is the full made of character that I think I can see in these other verses. Actually, we pointed out, you know, that we, that the assembly will be married as a wife. Then she comes in this way as a bride and a wife. And then she's found eternally as a bride without a wife. And the distinction I think we've seen so often is the wife way is formative. The wife is a woman capable of doing it, you know. She's the home to look at the baby, the family to bring up. The wife is a capable woman, and that's what's being developed as the marriage of the Lamb's commonest wife. Yes, he is the confident vessel being formed in that way. But nevertheless, I still agree with what you say. I think that while that wifely character is very necessary with us, rival affection is what they appreciate best of all.
The best way to generate and maintain love is the remembrance of his love.
Yes, yes, I'm sure of that.
I'm indebted to Hamilton Smith in his book, I think, for an excellent remark in the first chapter, where he says that the best dose of preventive medicine against the disease in chapter 2, loss of first love, is an entry into the doxology, unto him that loveth us. He suggests that if we are from our hearts able to say, unto him that loves us, we certainly won't depart from first love.
Is this departing in thought or in practice or in both?
Well, a very good one begin in their affections, you see. That is, as we said, with the warmth of these eyes of the flame of fire. Remember we said yesterday, there's things in my heart that you'll never be able to see. But there's nothing there that the Lord doesn't see at all times. I don't know how it began in their hearts, but it was come to mark them eventually in their practice. And maybe in their response to the Lord himself.
Is the just one, yes, it was formed and well seen. From the in Proverbs 31.
And the woman of what?
Yes.
Yes, I don't know what it is. Who can find a virtuous woman? Christ the Father of all. We often use that, you know, in the scripture.
Some trust in her.
Oh, yes. There we go. But speaking of those eyes, with no doubt, he mentioned it yesterday, perhaps Peter, you know, and after the Lord was raised from the dead, the wonderful picture of that. The Lord could see in Peter as it were, well, he said, thou knowest all things, that was it. You would be as much to see, you can see it anymore. Grand thing when we can just very simply speak to the Lord like that, isn't it?
Set me as a seal upon thy heart. Set me as a seal upon thine own. The affections and the actions.
Very good. Very good. We pointed out, of course, this way somewhat slipped in by the translators, almost wrong, so that the verse was powerful. Isn't a small thing at all, but the thing the Lord valued most of all.
It is actually an italic symbol, but
what is it? What is it? I think it's slipped in.
It seems to be so strong in the eyes of the Lord that they speak of him. And that's funny. Remember that from whence thou art fallen. Who could have said that? We would have said, what a wonderful assembly. It was a wonderful assembly, isn't it? But there it is. Follow me.
What? Is this then the incoming distance that we were speaking of yesterday in relation to what is said to the churches because of their attitude to the Lord Himself?
Yes, yes, right.
I mean, the position seems to be in relation to first love. What hast thou between me and thee?
Yes.
What is thy beloved more than another beloved? That's the question I think we've each got to give to his father in relation to our affection for the Lord. Certainly.
Yes. Don't you think too that it really amounts to this? Are we going along with the meetings? Or are we going along with the Lord? There is a difference, isn't there?
Yes.
But we can almost judge, I think, from these verses, that the Lord appreciates love for him more than he appreciates works for him. But I remember once stating that, somebody said, well, you mean we're going to give up works? No. But if we put the love first, then be a vast improvement then in the works. And that's what it is.
The work that the Lord chiefly commends is the work of Mary, isn't it? Wheresoever the gospel to be spread throughout the whole world, this also which she has done for a memorial of her. There was obviously affection and was losing her when she wrote books.
There's one thing we can do, then in the confidence that we have in him, knowing that the one who loves us and watches from our sins in his own blood, we can be before the Lord and ask him to search it. And ask him to show us what it is, what I am allowing to do.
Oh, yes.
We can then go before the Lord in that confidence, and he'll give us. We can despair from this if we maintain communion and be open, honest, straightforward, and speak to him about our defects. Speak to him about our deficiencies and our defects. For he knows, and he can tell us what the danger is.
You touched us just a little, didn't we? When we spoke of God as a jealous God, he can't bear distance, can he? He wants us to be near him. Come near unto me, Joseph would say unto his brethren.
Wouldn't you say, George, in regard to this broadly interesting question, that in 1 Corinthians 10 you get that very position taken up? If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If that affection isn't there, somehow the folks there are there to make sure that it is there.
Now shall we not also with him freely to give us all things? That is the affection of the discipline of that. That is the affection of the discipline of that.
In the context here, or in John's, in the context here, there appears to be three kinds of things. There's affection for Jesus, there's doctrine, and there's works.
Yes.
Could you put them in a proper order? Say something worthy.
Well,
I think
there must be, I think, with work of the Lord behind everything that we may be doing. Then he may remind us to know what he desires from us, a little much we may love him in the very beginning. Well, you remember one again who said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The very man that was the beginning of these assemblies. What wilt thou have me to do? And then when the Lord said, now you're gone, and we told you what you were to do.
And he said, believe it.
But I hope that we said we haven't only come here to this time, haven't I, really? Just to try and get a little bit more weight about these seven assemblies. Well, how are we going to do this? Is it going to do me any more good in me? Any more than what is in my service? Am I going to take the time to these things? Search my soul. Are these things true of me today? Have the Lord to say that to me anyway, as he said it to that assembly.
It's not so to me. So there you go. He says, I left my hospital. How do you imagine to give him back to them?
Well, Lord, I have to answer them. Well, I'm not with you, Lord Peter, when you're going to get into the Lord's own presence, and let the Lord tell you about it. That's the safest way, I think. I think it's the wrong way to say that, that's the safest way.
Well, really, the hear it is not
one of the things I can't put the book of figure on the new anyway. The word is repeated again and again for Daniel.
Always in that way.
One of the remarks of J.B. Stoney, one amongst others, he said that when earnestness, when intelligence increases, the tendency is for earnestness to be planned. And I think we find that in our own experience.
This first part of verse 5, George, would you read, indicates a principle we often find in Scripture, that the point of the covenant is always the point of the object.
Oh, yes, that's often there.
You see, when we spoke about that, we said Peter is an outstanding case for us as one individual about being married. I think if he'd been one of my disciples, that would have given them all the
smallest. I said,
the Lord. Now that's what we are today, and wouldn't trust them again. No, not again.
That's the thought. But that's fine, then, George. I understand that the word quickly shouldn't be that.
Well, that's right.
You and I wouldn't have had it quickly, am I?
That's right, yes.
But the truth of that, the combination of which.
Look back in your history. Just where did I begin to slide on this pattern there? What was the matter? Just one more day. And I think with real heart searching, we probably ended with our own finger on the spot that led to it.
Would that be repentance?
Oh, yes, well, repentance would be that if I turn to the Lord and I apologize to him, and ask for grace to get over the thing and get on again.
What's the first word?
First words? Well, I mean, first love and first words, we can go in together. It's the same word for first.
So then you get to remember the way you were and where you have fallen.
That's right.
The repentance, and then you do the first word.
That's right. Bring the right back to it.
Well, to define, when you find yourself depending on it, it's ourselves that comes before us. We're looking for something for ourselves. Once we look for everything back, and then we find it very, very subtle. We look for something for ourselves, and that's very dangerous.
Do you think that these things here have fallen just as far as Peter had?
Well, I'll see, we're bringing in an individual case, Peter. It's probably right that he should remind us about that. We're bringing in an individual case where the Lord is dealing with the company.
Yes.
There's no doubt many among them would be just as earnest, but looking at them generally as a company. Because why we keep bringing in the individual, it's not such a good thing to look at as nearly 2,000 years ago, and it's not that many applications to me today. But it's a company here, certainly that's in view.
The same sort of commitment on the painted not kind.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Still give up the same day on the stage, didn't you?
It was company affection again he was seeking for him.
The evidence of the restoration of the first house is the doing of the first place.
Yes.
There's nothing to go for.
Right.
And perhaps that's necessary to rest today. Good works find a greater place, don't they, in the pastoral epistle. That nine references are beyond a doubt. There has to be the good works, and I think we've got to be diligent to maintain
them. Is it not the only one of the individual responds?
Well, we're coming and giving the upper covenant mind, you see, that we're thinking about it. I'll just go to say the figure. Suppose every, pardon me, using it for this figure, suppose every individual in your local meeting bought that. It would have a wonderful collective effect, wouldn't it? But then if I'm sitting waiting a view doing it first, well then we get on with the thing first, eh? And if we all did it, what a wonderful recovery that would be.
Speaking of progressive sounds that you're speaking, it says, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. I'm afraid that we live too much abroad.
You're so quick at pointing out this and pointing out that. Where am I in relation to this?
Well, that's
but I was glad that he had to say to them that if repentance did not come in that wonderful state, I suppose the expression of the one body, as our brother suggested about holding fast the head, this Ephesian condition of things that we know is there in that epistle. He's going to remove that lampstand, that united, it seems, united testimony. Obviously, men that were linked with their head in heaven, removing that lampstand. That condition of things was going to be allowed to go.
Except some repent, then, George. What is it you repent? Let us know what it is.
Well, all I know about repentance is the complete turning round again the way one was at the beginning. Anybody has any better word, that's the one I use for you, the complete turning round.
The Thessalonians.
Yes,
turn to God from life.
Yes,
turn
to God from life. That's right.
Yes,
sir.
Corinthians, it says,
God will
suffer.
Oh, yes, that's right. It means that I've been going on with something, not realized the thing's wrong, and I'm determined to give it up and send back to the Lord.
That's some of the things.
Oh, yes. It's right about when we were first converted, of course. One had to admit that all one's life would be wrong.
But then it's the application of the cross, isn't it?
Oh, well, before that, no doubt of that is the fact. Oh, yes.
So what is this to be effective in? That is, in the profession, the Catholic also rules, but was it not this recovery in the way individual were exercised that time, 100 and so many years ago? That would be the omnipotence.
Well, I don't know it was. I think men that the Lord gave life to were not these things. Well, that would probably strike us in the Philadelphian character. That was your fear, isn't it? Yes. It's sure there was a general sort of repentance in these people.
But the result of this is the evidence for many centuries. What is it? He speaks here, I am coming. Yes. Oh, yes. Is that in the sense that he was on the way? Well, I think the point is walking on the basis of our stands. They were, he could no longer support them in the fullness in which he desired, and not be supporting them because of this.
Do you think perhaps we have an example of collective repentance as distinct from individual repentance in the type of meetings to which Mr. Holt called us in Newcastle? Meetings for humiliation and prayer. I think apart from the individual exercise, as an assembly time, we have to get down before God and just ask ourselves certain questions as to why we are in the state we are. And perhaps what was common amongst the early brethren had a bigger place for today than sometimes.
Taking upon us what marks the general theme, though perhaps personally that nothing is needed.
That's right, I know there's at least one brother in this room converted as a result of all the meetings and humiliation.
Are you going to speak then, are you? I just did not. The role of the candlestick is just done against the background of responsibility or privilege for both.
I think it's the removal of that, what we venture to call that pristine state of things in the assembly, and it comes to be absolutely separated from this world and wholeheartedly devoted to the interests of the Lord. The mark that we see coming further down is the proof of that state of being, you see. But there again, it comes back to commendation. But this thou hast. Something now that they did possess. If these other things were not right, there's another thing that he appreciates. Thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We know there's been a lot of controversy about this word Nicolaitae. But I must say myself, the bearing of the word has always interested me to describe it.
against the right and progress of the Nazarene, as the faith called for.
What do you mean by that?
Well, men are still meant to be the leaders in the Christian profession, arrogating to themselves offices and such like things that they have no right to whatever, that you must bow down to me and my word to you must be authoritative, and that one of them has any right whatsoever to say that to any other saint of God.
Isn't it a solemn thing to think, George, that they've got a place in the next assembly?
Well, it becomes a doctrine. They want to settle the standard doctrine.
The effect morally is devastating, that the grace of God is turned to lasciviousness. People just please themselves.
There's enough one is to navigate to oneself that. Another is for the lady to assign.
To submit to it, I guess it's a two-sided thing. The removal of the lordship of Christ over us. It's the denial, that's the way I want it, of the lordship of Christ over us. Why should I have to appeal to you? It's not my job to do. The Lord's the one that has the medical right over me, not you.
Then as the Lord who demands the law, then they get your question. As to the law of the scriptures, and automatically leave it to one individual.
Yes, but you're there. Hey, that's what brought the thing about, you know that quite well.
And I think we need to set ourselves up about this. We're inclined to accept the principle of the greater and wait for something to happen before speaking to you, things like that. I've been in meetings when it was a fine intercessor to use a hammer and let him pray. Like your exercise and not be about our business in coming together. Surely, in our own world, we will put all we want to do from about our business and from exercising.
Historians of such, I've been looking this thing out again, and they admit that they cannot find the slightest trace anywhere in church history of a sect of the Nicolaitans. And that convinced me that perhaps the meaning of the word Nicol champion, laity the people, the champions of the people, I'm persuaded this is the right of Jersey. And I think that our brother said, it's because of the laity themselves, too lazy to get under the job, next year a man will win for the danger of the thing for me. That's what it was.
Easy for the laity, everything is in one man's hands. We don't have to talk about that.
So what you're saying is there's no place for archbishops and bishops in the church.
I'm sure of that.
And there's no place for them.
Well, we do get bishops, but not at all in the official appointment that we agree with these people, is there? Well, a lot of you come down to that just now in Pergamos, where it's the world that appoints them now. Fancy a political man appointing a so-called bishop, eh? Yes. However, we will get on with that. But I believe this was the exception of it. It was not only going to be, perhaps on the one side, the denial of the headship of Christ in practice, but this was going to lead to the denial of his lordship and his authority over his saints in the making.
Whatever might be the meaning of the Greek, and I think perhaps that's a little tenuous, nevertheless, in church history it's a plain fact that the Pharisee very quickly sprouted and took the position of the Lord in relation to the company. It had devastating effect morally. And here it's the deeds, isn't it? It's the deeds of the Nicolaitans and the book that was often coming out manifestly, which was an objection to the Lord.
It's been pointed out, if it had been a licentious sect, it would never have become a doctrine. And the government of them turned it down, you see, they're not being a licentious sect. It's not what I said. And you go from the title of the lay off here and make it a case of the way for the embassy of the last year to the list.
Yes.
However, I know all the people that I'm perfectly sure the service is right in searching these things out in the other.
The happier than at the end of your order, can we get on to that?
Oh yes, I'm just changing this by him. Yes. Well, here's another important thing for us, isn't it? He that had an heir.
this yesterday, but in Matthew 13 it is here. But here it seems to be a lot more here to hear. The Spirit will speak into it, but that's it. Actually, in the book of Amos, I think when we're going through the whole class, I think we noticed in the jaws of the lion that there was one ear and part of the leg. That's what that is. So 50 years ago, but then there'll be some corresponding in a reference.
Say somewhere he that planted the ear shall be not hear. And if you're given an ear, just to hear what he's saying.
Yes, of course, while it says he that hath an ear, I suppose, speaking of the thing generally, every saint of God has got an ear. But there may be conditions in one's life that are hindering the using that ear, and perhaps not a mistake to hear what the Spirit, and mind you, it's not only the references, but what he says to all the assemblies, the whole thing is here.
Actually, in connection with the condemnation of Israel and their rejection is quoted in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans, isn't it? Their ears have they stopped. That's
right. They didn't receive confession. The sharp ear, wouldn't it? Did it be their night in the ear?
Oh, well, there's no doubt about that. And I said, I think we must be sure that every saint of God that has the Spirit of God, and of course every saint of God, I've got to be careful about that statement, because every saint of God has the Spirit of God. But when the one is in a spiritual state, and allowing the Spirit, as it were, to take control of me, that when these things are communicated, I'm in the right state to receive them.
Could you look back to what John was in the first chapter? He was
in the Spirit. Very good. Yes, he certainly received it all, didn't he?
When he said these things are to be communicated, we're not told here, at least the saints are not enjoined to give an ear to the angel of the church, to give an ear to the Spirit.
Well, we notice that the angel did look at the responsive, yes, the responsible elements in the various assemblies, but just what we said today, I can only depend upon the responsible element of the assembly, because if they're not going on right, I must look beyond them. I have the Spirit in my own heart that can give me a direct communication from the Lord itself, to form my power before myself.
Mr. Darby, in fact, has to be, is the church the teacher, or is it taught?
Oh, I would be good.
In other words, the ears have got to be up to the Lord, the ears to be put on to us then.
And hence this wonderful promise that I was to be overcome. There doesn't seem a lot to overcome in Ephesus, but there must have been, or the temple would not be used.
The point that John in chapter 1 is what he saw more than what he heard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a weird point.
I watched now I see right. Now what he likes to communicate to those of here.
But the end in view for the overcomer is this wonderful blessing of the full enjoyment and sustainment. I think the tree is suggestive of the sustainment of eternal life. To eat of the tree of life, I want to know, is Christ Himself, the sustainer of that life, the life of it, and to eat it, communion, I suppose, in the whole being in the very best of circumstances, the paradise of God.
Is that the present portion, or one that will come later?
I think it's at the end of the path that he holds this out. The reward for overcoming the peculiar difficulties that might have been in any period, the reward for overcoming that is a special answer, I believe, in the world to come to which we are going.
If this kind of primary present application will be alone amongst all the other overcoming promises included,
yes,
but we all have a practically explicit reference to the future. And for example, the second death sitting on this throne.
That's why I was saying to you is that they hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That while we have this description, any one of these states might happen today. Why not, the Lord?
I know there's no tree of responsibility there.
What's that?
There's no tree of responsibility there. Just the one.
The tree of good and evil is not here. This tree of the knowledge, I should say.
Is this because the churches do not hear? When he has to say, demons have
ears. Yeah.
The churches are not hearing. Although they're addressed to the churches, yet it's even as an ear, an individual who hears the message.
This is further coming in relation to the world, but in relation to the Christian command.
It's all the
failure. Whatever might be the state in the Christian world or in the meeting with which I'm connected, the call here is to overcome. Don't be overwhelmed by it, but overcome.
That's right. You remember that last word that the Lord said to the world, I think the last word recorded in John 16, fear not, I have overcome the world. But that, as you say, is one side of the matter. Here's another.
Would this overcoming then be in the good of first love?
Oh, I'm sure it would. Oh, yes. Being held by the Lord, I think so. Coming back to first words.
I know, George, could you help us? It's been the Lord who's been speaking down in these verses. And then he comes to this verse, and he says, heal the penny, you will hear what the Spirit says.
Oh, yes.
What's the point there?
Well, I suppose the only means that communication shows today is by the Spirit, both object of faith and subject of faith. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, or he could never have heard these things. The Spirit of faith means the Lord uses to communicate his mind.
The subject of faith.
That's right. And while the Lord is not here, that's why I corrected myself a little bit again. The Spirit is always here in the heart of every saint of God. That would make me think I can't understand that I can, if I want to.
Yes. That gives it a present application. Might as well do this.
I don't write the rumination. In fact, the Lord says he'll abide with you forever. He hasn't left a visiting company today. And I'm just as capable of listening to these things and understanding them, and indeed answering to them, as the way of the day in which they were given.
Remember, Paul says that the Spirit speaks expressly in the Spirit.
I like this little suggestion, George, in connection with the tree of life, 12 manner of fruits according to the months.
Yes.
Do you think that might open to us the possibility of perennial freshness and enjoyment to be found in the Lord?
Oh, that's what we usually thought about it. You're quoting from the 21st chapter, aren't you?
In the Holy Day. When I used to write a morning meeting, you don't mind when I'm speaking to them. He used to say, I will manifest myself unto him.
Well,
this is encouragement at the beginning of the morning meeting. But I noticed after years that the manifestation of himself is always bringing out something that I've never seen before. Perennial pressure.
Oh, yes. Even as we said in the reading of these things, perhaps one of the effective things this time just looking the whole way.
Food and also the healing of the nation.
You said a moment ago that the tree of life was Christ himself.
Well, I think so.
Yes. Well, Mr. Jarvis says Christ the fruit of life and the other.
Yes.
What about the paradise of God?
Well, it's only mentioned, and that word is only used 3 times. I think I'm safe in saying we only know 3 men at the moment in relation to paradise, as concerns in paradise. The Lord said that to the dying robber, you remember. Today shall thou be with me in paradise. Paul tells us he was granted a visit to paradise. Couldn't have done anything about it, but he'd been there. And of course, we know the Lord himself was there. It is the word we currently use, the Persian word, okay? Yes. To hope to be a garden of delight where there's everything to delight and satisfy the heart. And if that's the presence of God, where Christ himself is, in every good country, as we say the suffering, whatever it may cost, even in oneself, and repentance, and turning back to the Lord, because one has been drifting. For the grand things of things of the incomplete answers to within the world that come to which we are going.
In thy presence is fullness of joy.
Thy right hand is laid to rest on the Lord. Yes, quite a good description of Papa, I think.
Well, it's not a case of looking back to the good old days of the past. It's a case of going on and enjoying these things in the spirit for today.
Peter, I am constantly meeting people that mourn over where the meetings used to be. Mourning over the past is not going to help anybody. No, the testimony is more and more coming out, I believe, and rejection in this world. Indeed, one may be thankful that one is living in the present day when things are a bit more testing and difficult. Thankful for the daily grace given to go on in spite of the difficulty. Mourning over the present days will not help anyone of us, whether it be in the light of events today, we might be called tonight. Yes, that's right.
If we haven't played men of well known names, we have, what is it, we have the Spirit. What the Spirit says to the church.
Prophet Nelson Brown used to quote the little verse, inspiring faith. The Christian says the mess lies on the wall.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I was just thinking of a remark of Mr. Dick, I think it was in self-personal to somebody, about one of these men mourning and things like that about what could happen. And he's quite reminded of his brother, what a pity the Lord doesn't know that. If I'd only been in the world 100 years ago, a much more successful servant I would have been. What a pity the Lord didn't bring me here 100 years ago, eh? That's the spirit of it, isn't it? I think Mr. Dave told me that. Quite he said, what a pity the Lord didn't know that, eh?
That's what the old brother said that it was free, you know. Pick up here. That's what the old brother said that it was free, and there was some trouble in treating,
right?
This is Lord, he said again, half of the door.
Oh, dear.